It's already here. It's coming up. Whether you're ready or not, it's coming. And so we need your help. And so the first thing you do, I think one of the most important things you can do is start bathing in prayer. And so I'd like for you, if you have a prayer list, put on your prayer list, Fireworks of Brighton, and start praying for it. Praying that God bless us with a tremendous event, praying that we can love people that normally we don't get to love on, and praying that we just get to show the love of Christ in a special way that night. And so start praying for the event. It's coming, and it's going to be here before you know it. Start praying about it. Start thinking about when you can serve, when you can sign up, and start inviting somebody to it. We're getting the postcards ready right now, and so they'll be going out soon. So just let you know it's coming up. And help us get ready for it. And everything starts in prayer. Speaking in prayer, today what we're going to do is today, if you know it or not, today is Pentecost Sunday. And we actually celebrate Pentecost Sunday. And I just want to tell you a little bit about Pentecost Sunday. And I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit this morning, since it is Pentecost Sunday. And so I want to start by just kind of telling you what Pentecost Sunday is. And so Pentecost, what it is and what it started as, is a Jewish feast of the harvest. And so we're celebrating this time of year the Jewish feast of the harvest, that's what Pentecost, we get Pentecost from. And it's celebrated 7 weeks or 50 days after the Passover. It's also referred to the Feast of Weeks, the Hebrew name for the festival is Shavuot, and it means the 50th day. And so this is where Pentecost was birthed. And this is how we get our legacy, basically. And I want to start by where it started, where the church started. I want to show you where it started. So we go back to Acts. In Acts chapter 1, we actually start. And we just want to walk through a little bit of it with you in showing you our history, maybe our legacy. And it starts in Acts, and you go through and you read the chapter, book of Acts. It starts with a very cool story, but Jesus hanging out with the disciples. And so Jesus has been hanging out with the disciples and for 40 days after his resurrection. So they're seeing the risen Savior, right? And this all starts in Acts. So he's hanging out with them. And then in the first of Acts, he ascends to heaven. Before he leaves, Jesus gives them one of the biggest assignments of their lives. He says, and this is our assignment too, he says, go and be witnesses. Go and tell what? He says, go and tell everything you've seen, everything you've been through, and everything you've heard. Go and tell them that. Go and tell them everything you've experienced. So that was their assignment, right? But then Jesus gives them the promise, the key to assignment, which was the promise. He said, before you do all that, I want you to wait. Now, how would you like that? I mean, I know you guys are a lot more patient than I am, but I'm not a patient person. And so now you've seen Jesus, right? You see him when he was crucified on the cross. Now you've seen the risen Jesus. You've walked with him. You put your hands in the finger, you know, nice party trick he's showing everybody. I mean, you've walked with him. You've ate with him. You've been around him for the last 40 days. He's telling you incredible insight to the Bible. I mean, he's telling you all these stories. Incredible time. Then literally in front of you, he says, all right, I got one job for you. I want you to go tell everything you've seen and heard. All right. And then he said, but I want you to wait. And then he ascends to heaven. I mean, come on, you know they had to be chomping at the bit, right? I mean, they had to be ready because they were fired up because after all they've experienced, they're fired up to go tell everybody what they've seen, what my eyes have seen, what I experienced. I want everybody to know. And Jesus says, "What? Wait." And so the next 10 days, they didn't just wait. They prayed as they waited. Acts 1:15 shows us there's 120 people praying and waiting. Waiting and praying, waiting and praying, waiting and praying. Some of you are like, I'm getting tired of you just saying it. Waiting and praying. But I think we need more of waiting and praying in our lives. Think about it. Our culture today is pray and then we make it happen. Come on, let's be honest. That's the way we work, right? We pray and then we make it happen. Well, Jesus said, you're going to wait, pray and wait. Wait till I make it happen. And I think God wants us to get back to the part where we're praying more and waiting more on Him than depending on ourselves. Praying and trusting that He's working on our behalf, even if we can't see it. That's what He's wanting us to do. Pray and wait. Pray and trust. Pray and believe that what we need is only going to happen through God. Not through your own hands. Not through your own motivation. Not through your own hard work. But it's only going to work through God. Praying and waiting on the Lord to move. I mean, just think about the disciples. They didn't even know what was going to happen. They just prayed until something happened. So they prayed and they waited and they trust God. And we know because we got the Bible, we know the rest of the story, we know they're waiting on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but they didn't know that. And so even saying that today is the day of Pentecost, they were waiting on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I know some of you maybe have a little reservations about this sermon. Some of you might be excited, some of you might be cautious, some of you might be intimidated, depending maybe on how you grew up or your friends group or how you may have heard about the Holy Spirit and thought, nope, that's not for me, or you lost me at Spirit, or not interested. But what I'm praying for you today on the day of Pentecost, that it sparks something inside of you to maybe just ask more questions. Maybe you pray about it. Maybe you read scriptures more about it. Maybe you get more involved in the Word of God and research what it says about the Holy Spirit. Because my prayer is that it sparks something inside of you that you want to receive the whole baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus desired that not only just His disciples were filled, but you and I were filled with the Holy Spirit. So we're going to start by looking at Acts 1:8. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You'll receive power with the Holy Spirit. I love that. You'll receive power. And that word power there in the Greek is dunamis. Dunamis, it means a dynamic power. It means a bold power. It means this is what you're going to receive. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you're going to have dynamic. You're going to be bold in power. Come on. You guys are not awake except Pastor Mark. But this is exciting. And you need to understand this. This is our excitement here on earth. Our assignment is to go tell, be witnesses, but wait. Wait for what? Wait for power. Wait for a bold power, a bold witness. Come on, I need that in my life. I need that kind of power to tell my story, what God's done in my life. I need to be more bold. And that's not always in me. That's why I need the Holy Spirit. Because He's given me a job, He's given me an assignment, and on my own, I'm going to wait for the right opportunity, ain't I? How many knows that what right opportunity is probably never going to come? But when I feel the Holy Spirit, when I have that kind of power inside of me, it gives me boldness to say something, maybe when I would not have said something. Maybe to reach out when I've not reached out. But it gives us this power. But you receive power. You're going to receive boldness when the Holy Spirit's come upon you. And you'll be my witnesses. I mean, think about that verse. What keeps many people from witnessing? What keeps many of you from sharing with your neighbor, your family member, your co-worker about the gospel? What keeps you from doing it? Fear. Is it? Fear. Well, I can't say that. They're going to think I'm weird. They're going to think I'm a religious nut job. They're going to think. So fear, but God has, this is how awesome our God is. He understands you. He knows you. He knows that this is going to be a calculation of yours, that you're going to think this through and you're going to get afraid to share the gospel. He said, all right, I got you covered. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send, you're going to receive power. You're going to receive boldness, a boldness to witness, a boldness to share. You guys aren't with me this morning, but what he's saying is you're going to receive supernatural power. I mean, who doesn't want supernatural power? Come on now. I want supernatural power. I mean, this is our calling. We're not called to be saved and live a good life and hope we make it to heaven. You're saved, you're forgiven, so you have a supernatural life so you can witness to those around you. That's our calling. I mean, look what the Lord has done is what your life is supposed to be screaming to everyone around you. Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done to me. Look what He's done in my life. Look where He's brought me. Look what I've experienced. That's what you're to share. We complicate it too much. Like, well, I don't know, Pastor. I don't know this. I don't know that. You know your own story.
Hallelujah.
You lived it. You should know it. And so that's what the Holy Spirit is doing inside of us. He's giving us a boldness to tell how He's changed your life. The boldness to tell how He's redeemed you. The boldness to tell how He's healed you. The boldness to tell how He's freed you. Why? Because you've been supernaturally changed. And He wants to use you to bring the kingdom of God to those around you. Come on, think about it. We talk about the Holy Spirit. We talk about baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we understand that when you ask Christ in your heart, that you're filled with the Holy Spirit at that moment. But then we also differentiate that there's a time where you pray and you ask to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. So when we ask Christ in our heart, we all have the Holy Spirit for us. But when we're talking about in Acts chapter 2, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is when it just starts overflowing. Where it overflows, where it can't help but flow out of you, to where everywhere you go, like the Holy Spirit is just all around you and all around everybody around you. Like you have the Holy Spirit, but when we get baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's more than you can contain. And so that power, that witness is for others' sakes. To be bold, to witness, to share the love of God with no more fear. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 1. It says, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. Again, we're talking about this is the best thing about this. Pentecost was a Jewish day of harvest. I mean, think about that for 1 second. So Pentecost was to celebrate the start of harvest. Come on. You see the correlation there? The boldness of the Holy Spirit to come upon us. This was a birth. This was them celebrating the harvest. This is our responsibility. Look how God worked it all together. We're to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? So we can bring in the harvest. Because that's what the Holy Spirit is about. Anytime when anybody talks about the Holy Spirit, you know what the Holy Spirit is supposed to do? This is how you can judge if it's real experience or not. Is when it points to Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit points to Jesus. Reason why you're going to be filled, you're going to be baptized. While we're saying you should be praying to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Why? For the harvest. For the harvest. So you tell your story, and in telling your story, you're pointing people to Jesus. But the Holy Spirit has filled you with boldness to be able to tell your story as you point people to Jesus. Amen. We get this backwards sometimes. We get caught up in the emotions of it. And I'm not blaming anybody, but when you're talking about the Holy Spirit, it's very emotional, right? And so sometimes we get caught up in the emotions of it, but here it's about Jesus. It points to Jesus. If it doesn't, we got issues. So on the day of Pentecost in that year, in Acts, there would not only be the conclusion of the Passover season, but the start of the wheat heave harvest. And look what it represents. There was conclusion to the old covenant. What was the old covenant? Just real quickly, the old covenant was animal sacrifice, right? You had to go to a priest. You had to go to sacrifice an animal to get your sins forgiven. And it was the beginning of a new harvest. A harvest of souls brought about by the Holy Spirit. A new covenant to where all we had to do is go to the cross. Go to Jesus. He would redeem us. He would share His righteousness with us. And so what did Jesus tell His disciples? Wait. Wait for the promise. Why? You're going to need it for the harvest. You're going to need the promise for the harvest. The harvest of individuals from all over the world. The harvest. That is what Pentecost is about. That is what the Holy Spirit is about. That's why we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So we bring power to bring in the harvest. Acts chapter 2, 1 says, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. The New King James says they were all with one accord. They were all in one agreement. In every issue, absolutely not. But they all had the same spiritual passion. They're all seeking the Lord. They're all praying with passion. By this time, there's 120 together in those 10 days. Now look what happens, Acts 2:2. It says, suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. That word suddenly there is also used, the exact same word, the phrasing, everything, Acts 16:26, to describe an earthquake. So they knew he was coming. They were waiting for it. The coming of the Spirit, it took them by surprise. Suddenly from heaven, the sound of a mighty rushing wind like a tornado, a sound like none other. I mean, can you imagine what that must have been like? The wind in the room, that what would remind you of a tornado, what it would be like to be there and experience that? You read that, you think, oh, I think Luke might just be embellishing the story a little bit. I mean, really, a tornado? Come on. We've had a lot of experiences here lately with tornadoes. I think he was just... But look what it says in the latter part of verse 6, Acts chapter 2. When they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment. So Luke wasn't overdoing it. Luke wasn't embellishing it. This was happening. It was so loud that people outside the town were coming in to see what was going on. They're like, this is what's happening here. I mean, are you getting a picture of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the power for the harvest? The Holy Spirit is happening, and people's coming because they want to see. I'm hearing something. What's going on? I want to hear. What is it? Why are they coming in? The harvest. The Holy Spirit showed up in a mighty way. And people started gathering. I mean, don't you know that to be true? When the Holy Spirit moves, it captures the attention of everyone around them. Why? Because it's about the harvest. Acts 2:2-3 says, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rush of wind. It filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as fire appeared to them as resting on each one of them. So there's a noise from heaven. Then we see the appearance of flames. These two events came upon them both as group and as individuals. The noise filled the house. Everybody was immersed by the sound. Everybody in the room had tongues of fire upon them. I mean, incredible scene. This was the birth of the church. Birth in prayer and birth in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Think about it. The church started out of a revival, basically. I mean, there's a group of people, hunger for God, joined together in prayer with the same spiritual passion. I mean, you see in a pattern here? We want to see something else exciting about revival. Look what happens to it. It started with a group of believers waiting and praying. The Holy Spirit comes down, fills, and in verse 41 it says, so those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls on the day of Pentecost, on the feast of the harvest. Why? Because the Holy Spirit showed up in a mighty way, and people were baptized in the Holy Spirit, and everybody around said, I want to know what's happening. Again, it's a point to the Father. You know, growing up, as many of you did, grew up in a Pentecost church. Our first youth pastor, we were in a little town, had a great church, a great community. The First Baptist youth pastor and I had great friends. He taught me how to play the guitar. I mean, we're just hanging out. We loved hanging out, and we had a great time. I'll never forget, there was one Baptist church in town would not let their youth group associate with us because that's where the crazies go. They're swinging from the chandeliers. We didn't have chandeliers at that church, so how are we swinging from them? But somewhere along the way, it's gotten mixed up to where it's more about that. And that was not the intention of it. It was all about the harvest. It's always supposed to be the harvest. It's always supposed to be pointing people to the harvest, pointing people to Jesus. If you're pointing them to you about your giftings, and that's not right. But we seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're asking that every one of you get filled with the Holy Spirit, speak in tongues. Why? So we can point as many people to Jesus as we can. Because it's about the harvest. Speaking in tongues, it happens. It's a great thing to happen. I won't get into it today, but there's all kinds of reasoning behind it. How many testimonies of people coming to the Lord because somebody spoke in tongues, about how tongues got somebody's attention, they were able to tell them about Jesus, or about how this Holy Spirit gave someone a word and they spoke it, and somebody else. I mean, there's all kinds of things. And I'm not going to get into that today, but coming back to, it's about the harvest. The Holy Spirit came down. The Feast of the Harvest, that's Pentecost, that's Holy Spirit. That's what we need to happen today. Men and women waiting on God. Come on, somebody. Waiting on God. Men and women praying with the same spiritual passion. Holy Spirit baptizing so we can reach those around us. The book of Acts tells you and I how the Spirit of God moves and interacts with us. Also shows the Holy Spirit does things that we could never explain. The supernatural. It also shows us what happens when a group of people are hungry for the move of God. How many is hungry for a move of God? Shows us what happens when we humble ourselves, when we pray and we wait on the Lord. What happens when we step aside and allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us, that we can see the power for the harvest. Verse 4, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I know there's some that struggle with this. I know there's some that say, well, I don't think this is for today. I don't think miracles are for today. Can I just tell you that there's nothing that I read in the Bible that says miracles have stopped. A lot of people will give arguments of 1 Corinthians 3:10, and you've heard it before, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. Some believe that means the perfect was the Word of God, was Christ. I feel like if you study that out, if you add context to it, that Paul's talking about heaven. Because look what it says in verse 12. It says in that same section there, it says, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. I mean, there's mysteries we still don't know, is it? I mean, I certainly don't. Maybe some of you know everything, but I don't know anything. And so there's mysteries, even in the Word of God, there's things that we cannot explain, and there's so many things that we won't understand till we're in heaven, till we're fully known, until for now these gifts represents what is partial or incomplete, but they will be unnecessary when we step into heaven. And so there's no indication in Scripture that the work of the Holy Spirit and the gifts ended at the first century. Well, here's the problem. When someone says God doesn't do miracles today, that was only in the first church. Well, then my next question is going to be, well, then you have to ask, does God answer prayer? Yes. And if you say, well, God answered prayers, then it raises the question, well, then what you're saying is he only answers certain prayers. So I don't know if that plays out. But what I do know without a shadow of doubt, that you and I were created to have fellowship with the Father. We were created to depend on Him, to cry out to Him, to hear from Him. Jesus said what? Ask, and you're going to receive. Jesus said knock, and He's going to answer. So look again at verse 4 of Acts 2. It says, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Does it say some of them were filled? Say partial was filled. Does it say only the men were filled? It says only those with a theological degree were filled. It says all. All were filled. It's not for just a select few. It's for everyone. It's not just for ministers. It's for all. It's for those who cry out to God. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to speak in other tongues. Their prayer language was a part of the experience. It was an outward sign of being baptized in the Spirit. It's something we should be seeking. And it just happens the more we seek it. But always remember, always go back to the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Power. Dunamis power. For what? For the harvest. Look how it happens. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. And the NIV says, as the Spirit enabled them. I'm going to wrap this up. Olin, can you come back to the guitar for me this morning? Acts chapter 2, verse 5 to 8. Let me read it to you all together here. Now, there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at the sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. Again, this is one of the gifts of speaking in tongues. And then verse 7, and they were amazed and astonished and saying, are not all these are speaking Galileans? That was kind of a backhanded slap, right? Because Galileans were unclean. They were not thought very highly of. They're like, hey, these are uneducated people. How are they speaking my language? And then verse 8 says, and how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? I mean, you want to talk about power for the harvest. So these uneducated men and women were speaking in these native tongues. But I want you to see what the Spirit was saying through them. In verse 11b through 12, it says, we hear them telling in our tongue the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? What does this mean? I want to remind you what it means. Go back to chapter 1, verse 8. It says, but you receive power and the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you'll be my witness in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria until the end of the earth. That's what it means. It means we're going to be his witnesses. And to truly fulfill the calling that God's put on your life, you've got to have the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying it can't be done. I'm just saying I need boldness. I need that kind of dynamic power in my life. Because sometimes what I do is I get focused. I get my head down. I want to do my work. I want to get my job. And sometimes I miss all this. But when I'm in tune with the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit does is say, hey, lift your head up. Hey, I want you to see somebody over here. I need you to talk to that person. Hey, go give a word to that. Hey, I need you to... The Holy Spirit rises up in me where I would rather ignore it. The Holy Spirit doesn't let me ignore it. So I believe this morning there may be some here. The Holy Spirit may be something you've wanted. But maybe you've resolved in your heart that you made too many mistakes and it's not for you. Or maybe in here, and maybe you've been seeking the Holy Spirit and nothing's happening. And the enemy's coming to you and saying, whispering in your ear, oh, you're not good enough. Oh, you made too many mistakes. Oh, you're not worthy enough. Look at that Acts 2:12 again, though. It says, amazed and perplexed. And they ask one another, what does this mean? And you know who answered them? Who answered them? Who stepped up and through the power of the Holy Spirit added over 3,000 people to the church that day? Who did that? The same man that 50 days earlier, three times in one night, he denied Jesus. Three times in one night. One time to his little girl. He wasn't even bold enough to tell her that he was a friend of Jesus. The same guy, three nights in a row, denied Jesus. The one that looked at Jesus in the eyes and turned his eyes away from him, ran away from Christ. That guy. That guy, filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with power, goes on to perform signs and miracles. That guy was changed by the Holy Spirit. Why? For the harvest. For the harvest. So on this day of Pentecost, I want to ask you, have you received that kind of power? Have you received that kind of power? That takes a man that literally ran from Christ, a man that did, get this, this man, this was the same man that walked with Jesus. This was the same man that saw all the miracles everybody else did. This man comes to the fight and walks away. Even says in Scripture, Jesus is walking by, Peter's out in the courtyard, sees Jesus, turns and runs. That guy got baptized in the Holy Spirit. That guy pointed 3,000 people to Jesus that day. The one that would not admit he knew Jesus stood in front of over 3,000. Said, let me tell you about a man that changed my life. Why don't you stand with us this morning? Today we celebrate the day.